In this episode of the I Can't See You podcast, I'll talk about my one-year journey in weight loss. I'll also talk about some difficulties I'm having with food prep. Here comes the new intro.
From Studio B in Swarthmore, this is the I Can't See You podcast with David. It's like blind people for dummies.
Hello there, and welcome to episode 111 of the I Can't See You podcast. My name is David, at David Benj on all the socials. I really appreciate you joining me for today's episode. And what did you think of the new intro? Pretty good, right? Let me know what you think, and stay tuned to the end, and you can hear the new outro. Wording is a little bit different. I'm in a different studio now, as I've mentioned on countless occasions in Studio B. The B stands for basement, in case you were wondering. I moved up a letter, or down a letter, I guess up a letter, from Studio C. Why was it called Studio C? It was a closet, that's why. It was so tiny. It actually would have been great if I had that just as a studio, because I don't know if you've ever seen different small in-home studios where, you know, they just put up all these soundproofing things, and it was a good size. But as I've shown, and you could go back through my Instagram, and you could you could see what it looked like, you know, from desktop to about maybe 4.5 feet. It was a studio slash office, and from above that that threshold, it was groceries on shelving and stuff like that. So, if you go back through my Instagram feed, you could see that I took a couple of pictures probably over the summer before we moved into the new house, and so there's a couple of things I wanted to talk about today. One of them is, and they kind of tie together, one of them is weight loss. I'll give you an update on how my progress is going in my diet, because it's almost a year, and I actually hit a milestone on February 1st. I'm recording this on February 3rd, Wednesday night, before it drops on February 4th. And so I want to talk about that. I also want to talk about one of the things that I really struggle with, and I've kind of watched how some people do it, some people who are blind and visually impaired, but there's just one thing that I can't get down right. So I'll talk about that in a couple of minutes. I also want to talk about, briefly, and it again kind of ties in with the weight loss and exercise, and I'll talk about that as well. You know, the other day we were in the living room, and Ziggy was running around, and you know, we were playing, and at one point I don't remember if I was going to grab for him or going to grab one of his toys, but I, you know, bent over quickly to grab whatever it was. Again, not sure if it was the dog or something else. And the chair that I sit on to watch TV is an office chair with a fairly high back. It's an old office chair. It was one that Jane used for a long time. I think she's had it since before we moved from our house in Media to the condo. And it doesn't... Did you ever see an office chair where it just... It will move when you get up out of it, and it will... like it's off balance. Well, that one does it. And because it's a fairly high back, when I bent over forcefully to pick up whatever was on the floor, I slammed my head into the back of the chair, which the back itself has a lot of padding, but the top of the back does not. And whether I gave myself a concussion or not, you know, I didn't see it. And that's one of the issues. And I know I've talked about it before. You know, I have trouble judging distance with, you know, when I reach for something. And it happened a lot. That happened a lot in Media when I was in the kitchen, whether I was doing the dishes or making something to eat or whatever. I would reach for something near the wall, and I would always, you know, I couldn't tell. I knew it was there, but I would reach for something, and I'd constantly be jamming my fingers. And as I've mentioned countless times, I have psoriatic arthritis, so that would just make that hurt. But I still have I still have this bump on my forehead right above my my right eye, and you know, it feels like there's like a feels like there's a stone in there, and it still hurts to touch it. And I've had headaches off and on from it. So, you know, whether it's related or it's weather related, the headaches, or it's COVID related, who knows? But it's stuff like that that frustrate me so much with, you know, it clearly was from not seeing that I did that, because I got up out of the chair earlier. And I was probably laying on the floor playing with the dog. I got up to go and get something. And when I got up and walked over to where, whatever it was, again, whether it was the dog or a toy for the dog, the chair had spun from, you know, to like on a 45 degree angle. So instead of facing east, it was now facing south. And it just hurt so much. I hit it hard enough where it was bleeding for a while. And of course, I didn't get it checked out, because who wants to go where there's people? Because you don't want to, you know, it's a bump on the head, and hopefully I'll get over it. And I don't want to get COVID because I banged my head on something. And then within the same week, not the dog's fault, but, you know, the dog likes to run up the stairs. And early on, when he would run up the stairs, you know, he had trouble because he was, you know, he had little tiny legs and, you know, he had trouble. He's getting very good at it now. Going up was never too tough. I mean, he did struggle a little bit. Coming down was the issue. And he would try to hop down, and he would sometimes miss a step or slide. And so we kind of walked up behind him. Now it's, you know, I'm not as careful with him going up and down. You know, I'll stay behind him sometimes to make sure. But back then, at one point last week, he raced up the stairs and I was holding on to the railing. And there's a point where our railing goes from being from an open area, it's open to the living room. And then where the second floor comes in, you know, there's this bar that attaches to the wall, and my finger got jammed in there. And again, you know, if I didn't have psoriatic arthritis and hit it right on the joint of my middle finger of my right hand, it probably wouldn't be a big deal. But, you know, there is, of all the cuts on my right hand, only one is not from the dog, and it's that one, and it still hurts. And again, it hurt before I hit it, and it was swollen before I hit it. It just made it that much worse. But, you know, it's frustrating to me when stuff like that happens, because, and maybe that, maybe sighted or not sighted didn't really matter there, because I was focused on, you know, the dog at that point, and, you know, obviously wasn't paying attention. I wanted to hold on. You know, I usually hold on with one hand and have another hand in case he falls backwards. And again, less and less of an issue now as he's getting bigger, and it's unbelievable how big he's gotten, in the 3+ weeks that we've had him. And I'll talk more about him in a little bit. But it's just been great with the snow. We had, you know, again, on the East Coast of the U.S., we had the big storm this week. And first I thought we had about 6 inches, maybe 7, maybe 8, whatever it is. It was, you know, it's been enough. We got to shovel. Liz and I got to shovel a little bit. And our neighbor who we share our driveway with, he has a snowblower. So he snowblowed the first day of the storm, because it was it was over a couple days. You know, he took care of it, and then we got more then we got some sleet, and then we got some more snow, and the snowblower wasn't great with the sleet and snow. So, you know, he did like a path to the street, and then I kind of shoveled the rest. And of course I got down at the end of the driveway where, you know, the snowplow leaves that, you know, that 2-foot pile of snow rocks at the end of the driveway. So I did that, and I love doing the snow shoveling, and I loved it even more. And this will take us into the weight loss and to the food, because I was out there for about an hour, you know, between clearing 2/3 of the length of the driveway and then part of the walkway and the steps up into the house. So an hour, you know, burned about 600 calories. Wow. Awesome. So it reminded me of when I was a kid, and I used to shovel our neighbor's driveway. We live next to some elderly neighbors, and you know, my dad always said, you know, make sure you take care of them, and, you know, if they need you to do something, take care of them. And I said, okay, no problem. Well, he would get mad at me because I would shovel their driveway first, because not every time, but many times, the lady, Mrs. Cutler, would make me gingerbread men, and I absolutely love them. So it was, I had a flashback to when I was like 12 years old the other day. After I came in from shoveling, I'm like, man, I just burned all those calories. I could have a little bit more today. What could I have? And I'm looking through the cabinets and I'm asking Liz, what do we have? And then I remembered we have these gingerbread Oreos that came out, I guess they came out around Christmas time, maybe a little before. And I love gingerbread, and these Oreos are awesome. So if you see them in the stores, and I doubt that they're still in there again, because I think they came out, I'm surprised ours are not stale at this point, because I think we bought them in November. So I had a couple of those, 150 calories or whatever it is. But again, I had the numbers. So I ate them, and it was like a flashback. And I'll never forget, to finish that thought with my dad and and this shoveling the driveway. He came home once, he had, if you don't know, my dad owned and operated supermarkets over his career. And as I got older, the stores were closer and closer to our house. So a lot of times he'd come home for lunch when he had a store in Chester or Brookhaven. And I'll never forget, he came home for lunch that day, and he saw me shoveling the Cutler's driveway. And he looked at our driveway, and of course it wasn't done yet. And, he pulls in and he starts yelling to me to come over. And I come over and I said, what? He said, they're not going out today. They barely go out once a week just to get groceries or go run errands or whatever. They're not going out while the roads are like this. You should have shoveled ours first. I said, Dad, she makes gingerbread men for me. And he got mad, and he said, all right, well, from now on, shovel ours first. Theirs can wait. It'll still be there, and they're not going anywhere. So I just love doing that. And again, the other day with the snow, and again, I don't know how many inches I shoveled. It wasn't crazy bad, other than the end where the snowplow deposits all those goodies for you at the end of the driveway. So to parlay that into weight loss, back in February of last year, of 2020, my weight had gotten a little bit out of control, and it didn't happen all of a sudden. It happened over a couple of years. For those that don't know, and there's a podcast episode, I'll put a link to it in the show notes because I don't remember what episode number it was, where I talk about this. I, at one point, weighed 235 pounds. And I went to the doctor, and this is back in December of 2009. I went to the doctor, and she said, look, you're getting too heavy. You shouldn't be that. Lose 10% of your weight. And I said, well, what should my weight be? And we went back and forth. She said, probably 155, 160. I said, okay, I can do that. I'll lose 10%, but I'm going to do the whole thing. I'm going to get down to that number. She said, look, I'm just worried about the 10%. Start off with 10% and we can go from there. So that was 23 pounds. It still would have left me over 200. So what I did, she said, I said, tell me what to do. And she said, look, we did some calculation, which I don't remember how we came about it. And I'll search. And if I can find out the formula for it, I'll put it on the show notes page. We figured out that my size, and my body weight, what it should be, again, around 155, 160. My size, I needed about, and my lifestyle, I needed about 1800 calories a day. And she said, to lose a decent amount of weight, but not too quickly, just take it to, 1500 calories a day. And if you really want to, lose quite a bit, I think when I first started off, I did 1200 calories a day. And that was difficult. And I did 1200 and I'll have to go back and look because I kept records of it. And the biggest key for me, besides using the scale, the biggest key for me was to document it, to write down. So you can look back and you can say, okay, look, I had this for breakfast and it was X number of calories and this for lunch and so forth and so on. And it's a spreadsheet. And I got, the spreadsheet, from the people that make the scale. I don't know that I could put that up because of copyright issues, but I'll put it up and see, we'll see what happens. Maybe I'll put up a sample of what, a day of eating, you know, while I watch looks like. And even once I stopped dieting, I continued to track it because it was very important. As I knew, I'm like, oh, okay, you know, I still have some extra calories. And initially when in 2009 I started, and by September of 2010, I was down to about 155. And then we joined a gym, and that created an issue for me because I didn't know how many calories a day I should eat. So I kind of played around with that, and I figured on the days that I went to the gym, I would do about 2,000 calories instead of the 1,500. And on days that I didn't go to the gym, I did the 1,500. And some days if I did, you know, more at the gym, you know, there were days at the gym I would just do cardio, but there were other days where I would do weights and cardio. And on those, maybe I would do 2,100 calories. And I probably should have done more. So because I didn't know exactly what to do, I went from the mid-150s to the mid-140s. And I think the lowest I got was like 142 or 143. That put my body mass index somewhere in the lower range of average of what it should be. And your BMI should be somewhere, I want to say it's between 18 and 25, you know. And I guess that's how we figured what my weight should be, by figuring out your BMI. And again, the upper, which I think was 25. Once you get above 25, and it might be 24, I don't remember. I think it's 25 though. Once you got to above 25, you're considered obese. And a lot of people think those numbers are crazy. I remember talking to a friend and with some other friends, and they were saying, oh, if I got down to that, I'd need to lose 50 pounds. You know, this guy was saying, and you know, and they're like, oh no, you don't need to lose that kind of weight. And I'm like, well, you know, the BMI doesn't lie. So, you know, and I settled for the low 150s or around 150, because I think, like I said, I think that was the middle of the, for my size, and I'm about 5'9" and, you know, I want to say 150. So the other day, and again, I started, sorry, let me back up. So last February, I felt like I was, you know, not out of control eating, but I wanted to track. I had stopped tracking because I was using an old computer at the time after, you know, once we had moved, I hadn't gotten a new computer in quite a while. And to leave the spreadsheet open, because I do leave the spreadsheet open all day long. And as I eat something, I'm like, okay, I had 170 grams of blueberries. So I would go put that in. And the stuff that I eat most days, I kind of have it set up already. So I just have to go in and plug in the number. So, you know, between the eye surgery I had at the end of 2017, the detached retina surgery where I was bed rest for the first week, and then I was very limited on what I could do for the next 8 or 10 weeks, and it was awful. It was just awful. I couldn't imagine if we had the dog then, how difficult that would have been. More so for the dog probably, because you know I like to play with him. You know, I play rough. You know, he runs after me, I run after him, you know, he's coming after me with his mouth wide open, like Jaws, ready to chomp my arm or my hand or, whatever. And hopefully I'll outgrow that, because I know Liz and Jacob and Jane are not too thrilled when he goes for your hand. So, you know, I noticed after that surgery that over the course of the next year, again, maybe I got used to eating more, I wasn't tracking, and I started to gain a little bit of weight. Maybe I gained 5 pounds that year, 2018. And then in 2019, my medicine got changed, and I added a medicine for the psoriatic arthritis. It's an anti-inflammatory that, after I started taking that, I really started to put on weight, and I was going up by a pound or two each month. And I'm like, you know, what's going on? Why is this happening? What am I eating? I just felt like I was constantly eating. And in February of last year, just before COVID, and just before I went to Orlando for PodFest, I said, you know what? I got to do this again. I got to get back into the 150s. Let's do the same thing that I did. And I wasn't, as I've mentioned before, I wasn't nearly as strict with, you know, I was crazy about it, you know, when I lost, you know, the 80 or 85 pounds, whatever it was back in 2010, end of 2009 and then all of 2010. You know, just, I mean, I would not do anything without writing it down, and it would definitely, if I was at 1550 calories a day, I'm like, oh man, I failed today. It was that bad. And, you know, so, you know, it's not like that this time. So when I started on the 20th of February, you know, last year, I thought, you know, I'm going to try and do 1500. There's going to be days when I go over, and there's going to be days when I'm right in the ballpark. And I'm okay with that because I didn't need to lose a bunch of weight. I figured I was at 173 last February. When I got on the scale on February 1st, I weighed 149. And I was good with that. And I figured 150 was going to be my target. And again, because there are days when, you know, I still have, you know, 1700 or 1800 calories, there's going to be days that I still keep only around 1500. And then there's going to be days like the other day when I shoveled the driveway that I probably had 2000 calories. Unlike most diets, I never really gave up anything. You know, I asked the doctor, what should I do? And as I said earlier, she said 1500 calories a day. I don't care what you eat. And because of that, when I first started, I quickly learned that you can't stay full if you eat 1,000 calories of ice cream. That doesn't keep you full. So I learned what kept me full. And then as I started doing all these things and figuring, okay, I'm going to have this, I'm going to have that, I figured out, hey, when I eat these things, it made me feel better in general, made my psoriatic arthritis not hurt as much. And there are days, especially the last few days, I guess with the storm, I mean, my left hand has been so swollen. It's just hurt so much, you know, my knees, my feet, it's horrible. And there are things that I eat that, you know, make it sometimes just temporarily, sometimes it lasts for a day, just make me feel better. So, and that's going to get me in. I'll talk about the other thing, which is cooking in a minute or two. So over the course of now nearly a year, I've lost, you know, roughly, what is it, 23 pounds, 24 pounds, I guess. And I know a lot of people at the beginning of the year always think, oh, my goal this year is to lose weight. My New Year's resolution is to lose weight. And if you do all the steps that I did, you don't need Weight Watchers. You don't need anything. You get this scale so you can keep track of what you're eating and how much of it you're eating. And that's all you need. That's the only tool you need. And you can do it. And I know you can do it because I did it. And it wasn't horrible to do it. Again, like I said, there are some things that I don't eat a lot, like pasta. I love pasta, but I don't eat it very often. I will have a few pieces when Liz and Jane have it. You know, if they make like gemelli or, you know, bow ties, I don't remember what their official name is. Maybe it is gemelli. You know, like when they do shapes, when they do regular pasta or linguine, I usually don't have it unless I test it to see if it's done. So it's something that can be done once you figure out how many calories a day you need overall, and then take away 300 or 400. And if you take 300 away, you know, so you're doing 1500 calories in my case, those 300 calories over the course of 2 weeks adds up to about a pound. 3,500 calories is a pound. So if you knock off, you know, so maybe it's not quite 2 weeks that you're, you know, if you knock off 300 calories a day, you don't have to go the full 2 weeks. Maybe it's, you know, maybe it's 11 days. And I did, I noticed weight came off very rapidly at the beginning. By March, I think I had lost 20 or 25 pounds, when I back in the, you know, when I originally lost, you know, all that bunch of weight, you know, I started on December 10th. By mid-March, I was, you know, down around 20 or 25 pounds. I don't remember exactly. And again, I could go back and look, because one of the things that I document with the, you know, the food journal, and it's, again, it's not really a journal, it's a spreadsheet, is my weight, my daily weight. And, you know, I know people say don't watch it every day. And I can tell, I know when I ate something that has certain things in it, I know the next day my weight is going to be high. Like when we do fajitas, the next day my weight is usually up. When we do stir fry, my weight is usually up, and it lasts a day or two. And, you know, it's mostly water weight. It's not because it has a lot of calories. You know, it's something you can do. I'm going to put the stuff in the show notes page. If you're looking to lose weight, I can tell you that I don't want to say it's easy, but it wasn't crazy hard. You just have to change your thinking about eating, and you eat the stuff that keeps you full, makes you feel good. I know I've mentioned it before. Every night at dinner, I'm sorry, not every night, 5 nights a week at dinner, 400 grams of cauliflower, 300 grams of broccoli. Sometimes I'll have an ear of corn on the cob. Sometimes it's Brussels sprouts. Sometimes it's roasted carrots, you know, roughly 100 calories worth. And 400 grams of cauliflower is 100 calories, and 300 grams of broccoli is 100 calories. And then I'll have either, you know, I'll either have some shrimp that have a bunch of turmeric on them and some salt and pepper. And the turmeric is an anti-inflammatory, and again, makes me feel good. That's a temporary thing. I've noticed when I've used fresh turmeric, that lasts a little bit longer. And I also put turmeric in my omelets that I have at lunchtime. You know, again, makes me feel good in the afternoon. I eat an omelet for lunch, and usually in the morning I eat steel cut oatmeal. I know I've mentioned, because it takes a long time to cook. I think it takes Liz about an hour to cook it. And then I, you know, she cooks it before she goes to work. And then I reheat it once I come downstairs, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours later. So it's something you can do. You figure out, hey, this keeps me full. It makes me feel good. And then once you lose the weight, that in itself will make you feel better. Now, I've also gotten this year a new piece of exercise equipment. And I think I've mentioned it before. I got the Ziggy 2100, and, you know, so running after him and playing with him, you know, probably helped me get down to below 150. And again, it was never a goal of mine to get below 150. As I kept hitting 150, though, I thought, man, I'd love to see 149, even if it's not, you know, day in and day out. I'd love to see 149. And I was so happy the other day when I did. I was, you know, it just made me feel good, because I know I've, been trying for a while. And again, not as crazy hard. You know, listen, every night, just about every night, if I have the numbers, I have an ice cream sandwich, you know, after dinner, which I absolutely love. You know, not the fancy kind, like the store brand, because we tried the fancy kind. I didn't like them as much. I like the kind that we would get, you know, if the ice cream truck came around, you know, like a Good Humor one or whatever. And, you know, the store brand is closer to that. They don't happen to sell those. And, we usually shop at, either Acme or Giant, and, we haven't seen the Good Humor ones or things like that. So it's the Giant brand, and, you know, 150 calories, great. And then I finish off my eating at the end of the night with blueberries, raspberries, and blackberries. Raspberries have been hard to come by at a decent price. We, you know, I won't let Liz pay. We've bumped it to 250 a serving. And again, those servings are with the berries. We do 100. I do 170 grams, and works out for blueberries. It works out to about 100 calories. For the others, it's a little bit less. And, you know, again, that's something that also, when I call it a berry bonanza, when I eat that, you know, a few nights in a row, I notice it, you know, the coming days, I feel better. But one of the issues, going back to the turmeric, one of the issues that I have when I make stuff, it's not like the big stuff. It's not if I had to, and Liz usually makes dinner when we eat at home, But, you know, cutting up the, you know, the broccoli and the cauliflower, you know, we both do it. We have different ways of doing it. She doesn't like the way I do it. And I with everything else, like I've mentioned before, it takes me so much longer to do things than sighted people. You know, I'm a little more careful because I don't want to cut my fingers off. And I struggle to see if, you know, if there's a bad piece of broccoli or, you know, cauliflower that looks a little funky, you know. So I usually, if I don't notice anything, and, you know, sometimes I end up tasting it later because I've missed it, you know, I use it. And I like to rinse the stuff in a colander. She uses the bowl that she ends up putting the stuff in afterwards. She puts it in the bowl, cuts it up, puts it in the bowl, submerges the bowl in water so everything is covered in water, swishes it around, dumps it out, does it again, dumps it out, and then puts it in, and then puts the, whichever the veggie is, into the steamer. We have a steamer pot that's on its last legs because it's, you know, gotten a workout over the past 10 years. You know, we steam them, and, you know, that part isn't the issue. It's the issue is when I'm trying to add spices. And I think about, if you've ever seen the movie 100 Foot Journey, which always makes me laugh because it takes place in France. And, you know, why isn't it the 100 meter journey? I don't know. Or, you know, whatever, the 100, whatever, you know, but to use feet there just doesn't make sense. But it is about two restaurants. One of the restaurants is run by a French lady. The other one is run by these Indian immigrants to France. The main guy, and I don't know his name, I know he's been in 90210, and he's currently in The Resident. He plays Dr. Pravesh in The Resident. He becomes this, you know, famous cook in France, and he wins all these awards and so forth. But there's one, you know, when his father is teaching him to cook, he's like, you know, look, we're Indian. We spoon it on. We don't sprinkle it on. And, you know, the French version is you sprinkle it on. I spoon it on. If you ever saw how much turmeric I put, you know, in my omelet, first of all, the omelet, I can tell the omelet looks, you know, it's a different color than normal eggs look because I put so much turmeric in. And again, I do that because it, you know, makes me feel better, but I can't figure out, I couldn't tell you how much I put on, you know, with the turmeric. I turned the bottle upside down and I hit the bottom of it, and I hit it a lot, usually around 20 times. So how it's not even a paste, I don't know. So that's the one thing I've struggled with, things like that. And I thought about using, you know, those measuring spoons and figuring out, okay, well, if I use the small, and I don't know what the sizes are, but if I use the small spoon, maybe that would be enough. The problem is, because they're spices and you don't put that much on, they barely register on the scale. Like if I have a gram of something on, that could be a lot, because I've tried with the turmeric, and even with the turmeric, it's only a couple of grams. So, I struggle with stuff like that, with, you know, the preciseness. I don't want to say how precise something is, because it's me, and I usually like it, and, you know, it doesn't matter. I wouldn't want to cook an omelet for someone else like the way I cook it for myself. You know, I'm not going to open a restaurant or enter any food competition. Although when I do cook, I say, oh, I would have gone home for this one, or, maybe I would be in the top three. So that's one of the things, and I've put a feelers out from a couple of blind friends who, also cook. Everybody has to cook. If you want to eat, you have to cook it, right? I mean, you can't open everything up and just put your hand in a bag or box or whatever and do it. And I, the microwave is, as I've mentioned before, not accessible to me. And there's not really too much that I even want to put in there. Other than the microwave ears of popcorn, you know, that they come on the ear and you put them in a bag and you put that in the microwave, because if you don't, the popcorn just goes all over the place. And when we first got them, that's how I did it at our place in Media, because we didn't have one of those revolving trays in it. It was just, you know, so when the popcorn was done, I just opened it up, put the bowl under the microwave and just took my arm in and swept it out into the bowl. You know, when you have the spinny carousel thing in the microwave, it's hard because some of the popcorn gets under that, and so you have to put it in a bag, and I'm always afraid the bag will catch fire and whatnot. So I haven't done it. I certainly haven't done it here, and only did it infrequently at the other house, at the condo. So, you know, the like measuring something small like that. Look, if you tell me I want to have 100 grams of shrimp, that I can do. And again, never exactly, oh, I need to have, like with the cauliflower, you know, Liz would say to me, oh, I only had 397 grams of cauliflower. I mean, you know, again, 100 grams of cauliflower is only 25 calories. 100 grams of zucchini, which we grill, and it's just outstanding on the grill, is only 16 calories. So when you're talking about veggies, you can eat so many of them for so few calories. And I found that out early on. So if you don't like veggies, and I didn't eat them all the time. I mean, you know, a lot of times I would eat them with a lot of bad things on them. You know, now I use like a dipping sauce, you know, or just salt and maybe some, like with cauliflower, sometimes I'll just use salt and some cayenne pepper and I'll do that. So if you have ideas on what I could do to figure out like getting something to a point where it's, hey, I know I need this much of this on, you know, this spice or seasoning or whatever on something. And I'd love to hear from you again, 646-926-6350 or icantseeyoupodcast@gmail.com. Remember, I can't see you sounds like a whole sentence, but it's only 7 characters long. icantseeyoupodcast@gmail.com. I thought about using those measuring spoons. I'm laughing for 2 reasons. The dog loves when I pull that key of all those measuring spoons out and out of the dishwasher and kind of get the water off. You know, there's always water that stays on them after it's done in the dishwasher. And he loves the sound that it makes and the water gets sprinkled on his head and he tries to jump up and get it. So I'm going to have to stop. As he gets bigger, he's going to get to them. And so I have to hide them after I do that because he won't let me open the drawer where they go. The other thing with those, because of my sense of feeling in my hands, as I've said before, I don't see a lot of things, but I see glare very well. I don't feel a lot of things with my hands other than the pain that, you know, that I have in them. And the, you know, those spoons are hard for me to hold. You know, they're flat at the, you know, at the end that you hold them. So they're just really hard for me to hang on to without dumping this spice all over the place. So I know that I could probably try those. Yeah, I was hoping, I don't know what I was hoping for, but I'd like, you know, if you have an idea, please reach out and let me know. And lastly, before I go, as I've said, you'll hear the new outro coming up at the end of the show. You heard the new intro already. I have talked to a few people on Reddit, not about stocks. I've talked to some people in the podcasting, section of Reddit, about what they use to mix their shows. And a couple of people have said they use a Rodecaster Pro. So I've contacted the company. The problem with most of the mixers now, there is a touch screen on them. And unlike the iPhone, they're not accessible. And so the feelers that I put out, it looks like I'm going to get the Rodecaster Pro unless there's some issues where I have to go into the touch screen for every episode. As I'm recording this, it's about just before midnight on Wednesday night, the 3rd of February. Nobody's awake to, you know, help me do that. And I don't want to, again, that's giving up, you know, some independence. If I have to do it once when I first get the unit, that's fine. That's not a big deal. But if I'd have to do it for every episode, that's, you know, kind of a deal breaker for me because I don't have somebody here to help me all the time. And for most of the time, for that matter, you know, I used to, before we got the dog, I used to record the episodes usually in the middle of the day while everybody's at work. You know, and again, Jane works at home, but she's, you know, 2 flights up. She's got the penthouse office. I got the basement office. And, you know, while Jacob's at work and Liz is at school teaching. So, you know, if it's a set it and forget it type of thing, you know, I'm going to get that unit, the Rodecaster Pro. I haven't figured out the microphone, but you know, if there's a bundle available, I'll get that, but I'm waiting to hear. I've contacted the company now that I've settled on what I believe to be the best piece of equipment for me. I'll put a link to that on Amazon in the show notes so you can see what that looks like. And again, you have any questions or comments about that, please reach out and let me know. And again, besides the regular contact information, social media is great too. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, at David Benj, LinkedIn, or YouTube as well. In fact, you know, the podcast gets played on YouTube, gets sent to YouTube once I publish it. And you could comment there if you have any feedback on that. I'd love to hear from you. And I do appreciate you listening to episode 111. Hard to believe it's that many in. 111 episodes of the I Can't See You podcast. I hope you're doing well. I hope you're staying safe. And I will talk to you next week. Be well.
Thank you for listening to the I Can't See You podcast with David. Please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen. And don't forget to share the podcast with your friends.